everybody. I'm Radio Johnny along with Denise Miller, and you are listening to Recovery Radio on KRFP 90.3 FM in Moscow, Pullman. Recovery Radio is an outreach of the Latah and Whitman Recovery Community Centers. You can find them on the web at latahrecoverycenter.org and on Facebook. The Latah Recovery Community Center is located at 531 South Main Street in Moscow. You can contact the LRCC by phone at 208-883-1045 or by email at latahrecoverycenter@gmail.com. Their hours are 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. Monday through Friday. The Whitman Recovery Community Center is located at 226 East Main Street in Pullman, and you can contact the WRCC by phone at 509-715-1111 or by email at wrccprogrammanager@gmail.com. Their hours are 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Friday. Recovery Radio's purpose is to share with our community how addiction and behavioral health disorders affect us all and how we deal with them. We also share the personal stories of people in and around recovery, highlighting their experience, insight, and hope for continued recovery. And like I said earlier, I am Radio Johnny, and in the studio slash conference room with me is Miss Denise.
Hello, everyone.
Miss Denise, how are you?
Good, thank you.
All right. And the calendar, I encourage you to go online to check out the November calendar, being as we're halfway into the month, pretty much at this point, and see all the wonderful offerings there are there. There's all kinds of good stuff. And again, that's at latahrecoverycenter.org. Their new improved website is much easier to navigate. And you can also pick up past episodes of Recovery Radio there. So if you want to hear more, get on the interwebs and go listen. And today in the studio, our guest and friend is Dina Ramberg. Hi, Dina.
Hello.
Welcome to Recovery Radio.
It's good to be here.
Today we're gonna. Dina is a double threat. She is not only a person in recovery, but she is also.
I am actually. My title is Vandal Recovery Outreach Coordinator.
Okay, there we go.
But I like director. You can call that.
God, goddess of Vandal. We can do whatever you want. I mean, it's. It's easy to
read. It's the land of radio waves.
That's right.
So fantastic. Dina, why don't we start out by, you know, getting your qualifications to, you know, be a Vandal Recovery Coordinator. And here's a little bit about your recovery story.
All right. So I am in recovery for mental health and addiction issues. I have had a long history with trauma, and that impacted my mental health, obviously, and became an alcoholic, and that is how I ended up in recovery. I also have a education in social and behavioral science, and I volunteered at the Recovery Center for over a year and decided that I wanted to give back to the community in my own way.
Fantastic. Well, I'm glad to hear that, that you're certainly qualified as far as I'm concerned. Anyone in recovery that I know, either within their individual programs, you know, like for me, it's AA, right? And we have an obligation to reach out and help the still suffering alcoholic, the next person in line, so to speak. Mm-hmm. So, you know, to be able to do this on a professional level, plus the your professional education you have, mm-hmm. That's really cool.
Thanks.
That's good. Not only can you, you know, quote the, you know, the scientific evidence, you know, about substance use disorder, you have lived experience. That's what I'm saying. And
absolutely, that, yeah.
For me, makes all the difference in the world.
Yeah.
Because I didn't listen to my doctors or my psychologist, you know. I was like, yeah, I know I should slow down the drinking because my liver's falling out. But what do you know? You know, I'll just cut back. Mm-hmm. It'll fall out slower.
I mean, for sure, when I was going through my alcoholic, like active drinking days, I know I was in treatment at one point, and the counselor, nothing against him, but I remember looking at him and thinking, what do you know? Like, have you experienced this? Do you know what this is like? And it really does affect, like, how I feel in regards to, you don't know how difficult this is. You don't understand what it's like to battle an addiction and a disease every single day. So, yeah.
Right, for sure, for sure. I get that. Why don't we go ahead and launch into Vandal Recovery? It happens at, was it 322 Elm, or am I close?
It's actually 822 Elm Street.
822.
Mm-hmm. Right there by Greek Row.
Twos in there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, in the heart of Greek Row.
Mm-hmm.
At what used to be called Campus Christian Center. I think they just call it the center now.
Actually, they recently rebranded it to Our House.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Again?
Yes.
New one? Man.
I know I have a running joke that as soon as you get comfortable with the name of that center, it'll change.
Right.
But
right.
The branding name was actually really awesome because of the programs that recently changed. They wanted to make sure that there was a space for everybody. So they named it Our House, as in this is your house for
right.
the students.
Right. Yeah. A little more inclusive sounding, I suppose. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
I like the center, but, you know,
I still call it the center.
Yeah.
Yep.
Our House. Okay, so it's at Our House. It's on the ground floor.
Mm-hmm.
And you sneak in through the back door or the side door, whatever.
Actually, what I recommend is you can come in through the top and then sneak out the back.
Right.
So,
right.
You know.
Either way, it's in the downstairs area. Your office is very near the back door there.
It is so. Almost touching the back door, yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Fantastic. And tell us about what you do there.
So we're just really getting restarted or trying to figure out what our programming is going to look like. I'm fairly new in my role. I've been doing it for just over 3 months now. We have, I have two interns, which is a new thing for Vandal Recovery. They're students at the University of Idaho. They're very great. I love them. We have a Friday night program that I'm really excited about. It is from 5 to 8 p.m. on Fridays. It's a safe place at Our House to provide a space for students to still engage in the college experience and hang out with their peers without the other influence, you know, like the pressure to feel like you need to drink or participate in risky behaviors that you might not otherwise want to do. And is also a place where we can watch movies and do activities that relate to recovery and wellness. So I'm very excited about that.
Cool, cool.
Yeah.
And what are your hours over there?
Currently, it's roughly 10 to 6. Okay. Is typically ish when I'm in my office. I am the outreach coordinator, so I do a lot of activities where I go out, I do tabling and things of that nature. So sometimes I'm not in my office, but I do have a cell phone that people can contact me on if you would like that number.
Oh, yeah, sure. That'd be fantastic.
Yeah, the number for Vandal Recovery is 208-874-2942.
All right. And we'll run that again at the end of the show. So
awesome.
Or, you know, if you're listening to this on podcast, just back it up. That's pretty cool. Some of the other activities there on campus, but not necessarily on the center. You've done some speaking in front of groups there?
I did a couple of presentations with two of our interns. One of them was mine. One of them was technically Latah Recoveries, even though I'm part of it. You know,
right.
She didn't belong to me. I didn't get to own her. But yeah, we did a philosophy class. I don't remember which philosophy classes they were. Can I name the professor?
Sure. Why
not? Professor Bryce. He's pretty great. He invited us to come and speak about our recovery stories, the Latah Recovery Center, what we do, why it's so important. And we actually had a lot of really great discussions about what we do in so much as like risk reduction and what that looks like and why it's important.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of great questions. I wish I had half as much thought and foresight and ability to think in the way that students do nowadays when I was their age. I always think, I'm like, if I had half as many thoughts as you're having now when I was your age, maybe I'd be in a different place. So I'm really inspired by the students on U of I. Yeah.
Yeah, I think, you know, my opinion that the stigma is being has been lifted in a big way in regards to, you know, behavioral health and addictions. And not only that, but like drug use. I mean, we have legal marijuana a mile away. And I know, you know, it's still a fairly popular drug among, you know, younger people. And but the potency of it now is nothing like when I was a teenager. And it can,
I think when
it
all of us were kids, it is not the same. No, the potency is ridiculous.
Right, and a lot of folks are suffering with, you know, real big behavioral health issues because of that. It's terrifying. But back to the point, you know, it's out of the woods now, and people, it seems like the younger generation is absolutely not afraid to openly talk about it and their behavioral health or mental health issues because they're out there. It's big. And we're finding out exactly how big it really is. I mean, I saw a statistic somewhere recently where they talk about, like, what was the percentage? It was high. It was like something like 80% of the college age students they interviewed said they had experienced some sort of mental health breakdown, either during high school or in their college experience. So that's big. That's huge. Not to say we didn't, but we didn't talk about it. You know, it's like, oh, yeah, so-and-so, yeah, he's going to be gone for a little while, you know, or people would just drop off the radar. You wouldn't see him anymore.
Yep.
You know, because even kids younger, a friend of mine's brother had Tourette's. He had the physical tics, not the verbal outbursts. But it made it really hard for him to study in school. And so he didn't do well in school. I mean, he passed. He got through high school with low grades. But, you know, his brother and I were like, you know, we knew better. We knew how smart he was. We used to reload bullets. And he could calculate out how many grains per, you know, this caliber with this weight of bullet and all that in his head in seconds, where we were trying to look through a book and figure it out. And he's like, oh, no, this and that. Brad, you're the same kid. A physical limitation like that can cause some real, you know, sociological issues.
Absolutely.
Especially with kids. They are jerks.
Yeah,
they
can
be real pain in the butt. So when you talked, what are some of the questions that you heard from some of these students?
I actually
name names. No, I'm kidding.
I didn't gather that information. My favorite was, we were talking about harm reduction, like I said, and reducing risk. And, you know, we were talking about how needle exchanges got brought up, and it was great. A couple of students asked, you know, if that actually leads to more addiction or if it's enabling, and it opened up an opportunity for me to express that, you know, in recovery, I accept the fact that people are going to people. They're going to do what they're going to do. And addiction exists whether we want to admit it or not. And it, you know, we need to treat people like people regardless of their illness, right? So providing safe and harm reduction supplies helps to reduce the harm in behaviors that we already know people are going to do, right? And also, you know, we're exposing them to the recovery community. you know, people come to us in their addiction, and even if they're not looking for help, they might pick up something worth hearing and maybe enter into recovery, or at least it might benefit them in some other ways.
Right.
If they come in and talk to us, then we're building a relationship, and they're in an environment where they can in the future seek recovery. You know,
absolutely.
They've seen what it looks like and feels like to walk through the door, and the people mm-hmm. that are there, and what it looks, you know, so they can say, oh yeah, that's right. I was there. And they have people who, mm-hmm. you know, I got along with talking with, they seem like they cared or something, you know?
Right. For sure.
Yeah. It's a connection.
Yeah.
Yeah. And harm reduction specifically, unfortunately, we can't do needle exchanges anymore
mm-hmm.
In Idaho. That went away. But we can still give out clean injection supplies, you know, alcohol wipes, sterilizing wipes for mm-hmm. Injection site infection reduction, clean waters, things like that. And, you know, it is really a joke that, you know, giving somebody a handing out clean needles is going to make somebody want to use more. It's mm-hmm. that's not true, because an addict just needs what he needs to keep from getting sick. That's the thing.
Yep.
It's not like, wow, I got clean needles now, I can shoot up all I want. No, they're going to shoot up all they need
with the
to
old
anyway.
Needles. Yeah.
Whether they have clean needles or dirty needles. My experience with needles was I was never really comfortable with them or around them, because I had seen at a young age, you know, a friend get addicted to heroin, and what happened to him? I mean, he just changed. It was night and day. He went from, you know, a happy, easygoing guy to somebody who was just like seemed angry all the time, and you had to keep your eye on him. You couldn't leave him alone in your space because stuff would go missing. And it was frightening to watch it. And walked in one time at a mutual friend's house, and he was sitting on the couch shooting up, and it just kind of turned my stomach. You know, I turned around and left. I was just like, God, mm-hmm. I don't need to deal with this. And the rig he had was not a traditional syringe. It was this crazy-looking cobbled-together thing with an eyedropper and a needle mm-hmm. basically taped to the end of it. I was like, man. You know, and even in that day, I mean, overdose, of course, that was always a concern. Not like it is today with fentanyl being touching everything, every drug. But the major risk then was either an injection site infection or maybe hepatitis.
Mm-hmm.
That was as bad as it could get. But now, you know, we have HIV, AIDS, and that, you know, it's still a thing, people. It hasn't gone away.
Yep.
And, you know, blood serum is a perfect host for it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so you could end up in there. And that's not great either. But again, young people today, everyone is younger than me in this room.
Yep. I'll take that.
And
I'll take my wins where I can get them.
My middle age will take that. You're
fun fact, I started this, I started with the Latah Recovery on my birthday.
Oh, nice.
Oh, really? Fantastic.
Yeah. Nice.
29th, well, right?
I mean, it was 49, but whatever. You can tell me whatever you want. I own my age. It's whatever.
Right. Yeah, you never know. I always give people an out, right?
Yeah.
You know, so. What other things are going on at Vandal Recovery, or what things would you like to see going on at Vandal Recovery? We'll use this to try and lean on Director Keim to accelerate processes.
Actually, the things that I would really like to see us accomplish or work towards is completely within our abilities, is to, you know, further outreach, just to let, you know, like you were saying, you know, people know about it. It reduces stigma and it encourages people to potentially receive services, mental health or addiction services. But also the big thing that I'm trying to do is reduce stigma. Mm-hmm. Just like what we were talking about, is that addiction is like, it's a disease, but it's seen as a moral failing.
Right.
And as somebody who has a history of addiction and struggles with it daily, I have to work on my recovery every single day. it's very frustrating for it to be written off as just a moral failing. For it to, and that also deters other people to seek treatment or help because they don't want to admit that they have a moral failing or that they failed somehow to human because they, you know, made these bad choices. And that has been something, like I said, outreach and reducing the stigma. So,
Right. How would you propose to go about that?
Just be as loud as I can be. I know that during the warm months, my interns and I and some other people at the Recovery Center were spending a lot of time doing tabling events and going out into the community and giving, you know, providing literature and resources and providing, you know, fun little quotes on my sandwich board that I have over at the Recovery Center, at Vandal Recovery. You know, my extra sensitive toothpaste doesn't like it when I use other toothpaste, you know, just something to make you laugh, but it is about mental health. Right.
Right.
And just trying to normalize it. Like it's okay. Mental health issues exist. Addiction exists. So how do we treat each other with the love and compassion and kindness, that people in recovery really need?
Right.
So,
right. That's pretty much almost the mission statement for the LRC, very close to it. Because without, you know, compassionate care and people knowing that, you know, there's a hand here waiting to grasp yours and walk with you through whatever you're going through, it can be scary. And another thing, I don't think people, I still hear this to this day out in the world there, that, I've heard of it. What does it cost to, you know, get help at the recovery center? Mm-hmm. I'm like, it's free. It's free, 100%. free. Recovery coaching's free.
So if I could jump in really quick.
Sure.
I just want to say that some of our listeners may have heard that Magellan, which is the mental health side of our state insurance here in Idaho, as of I think it will be December 1st, is not paying peer support specialists to meet with their peers anymore if their peers have Magellan insurance.
Yeah.
And I just want to say real quick, if you are a person or know a person that's in that situation, the Recovery Center, the Lytle Recovery Center, the Vandal Recovery are nonprofits. So we're free services for everyone. So that doesn't affect the people that we meet with as peer support specialists and as recovery coaches.
Right.
When you come in, there is no charge for services. We do not bill any insurance. And so if you're in that situation and at some point you need to change your support, you are welcome to go into Vandal Recovery or the Lytle Recovery Center, and we can help you out with services.
Absolutely. And even though I am the Vandal Outreach Coordinator, I am not just student specific. I also work at the Lytle Recovery Center, as Johnny knows, on Monday evenings. And I'm here to support everyone in the community. And also, I don't have a lot of peers at the moment at Vandal Recovery. I'm always happy to, I'm not going to turn somebody away. At the bare minimum, I can, you know, refer you to another peer specialist if you need it, but yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yep. That's, and we have time here too.
Glad you brought that up because somebody just sent that to me this morning about, about the, and their Magellan is the state Medicaid, I believe, provider.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it used to be Optum.
Yes, that's correct.
So, yeah, so if you're in need of those services, you know, they, like I said, I think it was only cut off for adults, but that's fine because that's all we can deal with at the LRC is
correct.
18 and older
yeah.
because that's how we're set up. But, yeah, come on down and talk to Denise or Deanna on Monday nights.
Or Dina.
Dina, I'm sorry.
I did that yesterday. It's okay.
I short-circuited there, and I was like,
I saw you glitching, and I wasn't sure.
Yeah.
I was like, somebody needs to restart, Johnny.
I felt like something was wrong. It's all good.
Hit the reset
button. I did that yesterday evening.
Medicare. Okay, good. I'm dialed in now.
Medicaid. It's Medicaid, not Medicare.
See?
Medicaid.
Yeah, Medicare is what I'm on because I'm old.
Yeah,
does
probably.
Does he have a restart button?
Yeah.
I mean, I want a dump button, one that just like unloads some stuff in my brain.
So anyway, back now that we're all done resetting a dump button and we're ready to go here. One thing that you and I talked about before the show is how you managed to end up working with the Latah Recovery Center.
Yeah, that's actually a great story. I don't know if I am allowed to plug my previous.
Sure.
Okay.
Absolutely.
So when I moved to Moscow, I began working at the Moscow Food Co-op. I worked there for almost 6 years. But while I was there, I was given a great opportunity to join a program called Leadership Moscow. It's through the Chamber of Commerce. We were able to, you know, really learn about the community and the businesses and the people who are leading Moscow, right? And how to become leaders. And on the very last day, the very last class, Daryl came in to talk about the Latah Recovery Center. And I just remember looking up at him and just being like, I want to do that. I want to give back. I am ready to be part of the recovery community again, but in a different, you know, capacity. And I came in and met with Aaron, who is our volunteer coordinator, and immediately started volunteering.
Yeah. How cool. I was teasing and said, yeah, don't tell Daryl that because, you know, his head's big enough already. And Dina said something to the effect of, yeah, well, he's already growing out of his hair. So
I don't remember saying that.
I don't remember.
Daryl, I'm not a part of this conversation.
Exactly. Ed Zachary. Cool. Well, let's see. Where else can we go with this? Got some ideas for what's going on. There are some other things that are going on at Vandal Recovery right now as well, like meetings and all recovery meeting. Don't you have one of those?
So what I did is I reserved a spot that allows for all recovery meetings from 4 p.m. to 5 p.m. Tuesday through Friday. We have not had anybody come in. I was really focused in October on getting certified in my peer support, but we are going to be kicking that off. We'll probably narrow it down to just two meetings and then Friday Night Live, but it is at least an hour where you know you can come in and get support. I mean, obviously, you can get support when you need support, but like if you just want to be able to walk by and see if you can come in and have somebody there, that's what that's for.
Cool. Mm-hmm. Cool. And have you been able to like speak to, you're in the middle of Greek Row, any of the houses in the Greek system?
I have not yet, but I have been having, I've been like feeling out what all my resources are on campus and working with Aaron Bacon, who is our alcohol and other drugs director over there at U of I.
Right. And their health services group. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I was invited to join a campus coalition, a cohort to. It's a lot of the leaders, you know, through the schools and the police and everything like that on how we track information and gather data about the statistics of alcohol and things of that nature in Moscow, and then coming up with ways that we can reduce harm and other things that stem from early alcohol.
So, right, yeah. Right. Because a lot of, you know, my program, AA, I met a lot of people that may have had some experience with drinking before college, but, you know, limited, you know, a Friday night thing, homecoming or whatever in high school. Mm-hmm. But the college environment really kicked off their drinking, you know, having that freedom, first time away from home, little or no adult supervision. Because all the adults that are around you are the ones that are providing the alcohol and, you know, stuff like that. So, yeah, I just think, you know, the more we can get involved with, you know, especially the fraternities, which seem to be the biggest alcohol users on campus. Mm-hmm. I know for a while the alcohol wasn't allowed on the U of I campus, or the frats weren't allowed to have like keggers and things like that. I think that's changed.
Yeah.
Yeah, because
I think a couple of Fridays ago, I saw somebody hanging out of a window at the frat across the street.
There's a chair on that little roof part. I'm just saying.
Maybe they were outside.
There's a chair on the roof of the frat across the street. Anyways.
Yeah.
It's, you know.
Yeah.
You and have stories.
I just saw the next day that there, I wasn't there. I just was driving by because that's part of my route home. And I was like, oh, there's a chair on that rooftop. Okay.
They have some of the
they seem to have fun.
Some of the great houses really great, like, they have a window that opens up and goes out to a balcony, but they don't have like stairs up to it or anything. Right. So you just have to like scrabble up the wall and climb out onto the roof. And
well, we're agile when we're that age, so it's fine.
I don't remember what it's like to bend like that.
Yeah. And I know, a fellow, a friend of ours, friend of the program, Todd Benson, he was a, I forget which fraternity he was involved with over at WSU, and he goes to the frat houses, and he's also a substance abuse counselor over in Pullman, and he goes and gives talks and whatnot, and it's seems to be helpful. Of course, they'll listen to him because he's one of them, but... So it'd be cool if that opens up for us down the road, for you down the road.
Yeah. I wanted to go back to something, though, also that you were saying about the prevalence of alcohol and things of that nature in young adults who are, you know, out of the house for the first time. But also just the stress that students are under, you know, learning how to adult. And like you said, being out of the house and being away from family support systems and trying to navigate an adult world, you know, with maybe these expectations that all kids are supposed to party and they're supposed to do this. Not that college students are kids. I have to stop doing that because I get
young
used
adults.
To
doing
that. Young adults.
Yeah.
And also this idea that Vandal Recovery is not here to tell students not to drink.
Right.
I would just really like to help students drink responsibly. You know, there are so many habits that are in college life that are the exact opposite of what students should be doing if they want to go home safely at the end of the day.
Right.
So,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah, because along with the drinking, we interviewed a couple of weeks ago Aaliyah Johnson. Over the phone. I think you met her at the
Met her.
Yeah, at the festival. And her recovery story involved, sexual abuse due to alcohol and the college environment. So, you know, I'm sure you're going to be able to deal with that as well. I mean, that's. And part of the responsible drinking you're talking about, you know, when women go out drinking, go as a group or at least a couple and keep an eye on each other.
Yeah, have a DD too.
If you're driving. Oh, yeah, definitely.
And even just consider having a designated person who's not drinking in that group of people to keep an eye out for things that could go sideways that you would really need to have somebody alert about. I mean... In your friend group, you'd be surprised to realize how many people are willing to do that, to be that person, to step up, or to be on a rotation of that, doing that. And that's something that we did as young adults as I was growing up.
Yeah, absolutely.
And also, you know, other people aren't the only ones who can harm you when you're drinking. You know, if you drink, if you pregame and then go to your party and then you drink and you're not keeping track of how much you're drinking, and next thing you know, you're going back to your dorm room or apartment and you could have alcohol poisoning, you know, and if nobody's there
drink
to
water.
Watch you,
right?
You know, that is another thing that can happen.
Right.
So.
Right.
Yeah.
And especially with women, because the tolerance level is typically lower because smaller frames,
weigh less,
yeah. So that, yeah, that can be scary too. Mm-hmm. I mean, I remember, it's funny, when I was in high school and early into college, I was like a 3-beer drunk. If I drank more than 3 beers, I would almost guarantee I was going to get sick. And that wasn't fun. It took years of drinking and dedication to the cause, mm-hmm. you know, to become a fifth and a half a day drinker. But yeah, so I mean, how much is too much? I mean, you know, it might be worth the experiment to just sit at home with your buddies mm-hmm. and have a few drinks and find out where that tipping point is. Right.
Where do your inhibitions and good sense go away, and you're yeah. kind of in a dangerous situation if you were out in public, you know?
Yeah, right. That reminds me of the thing that blew my mind the most when I was in college was finding out that that it takes an hour to break down one serving of alcohol.
Right.
And I know how often I went out and was just mindlessly drinking. And I don't know that having that information would have helped me, considering my addictive nature. But, you know, knowing that and thinking about how many drinks some students have, or just, you know, it's mind-boggling.
Right. And they're, you know, the peer pressure is incredible out there. Mm-hmm. It's just a Jello shot, you know. Mm-hmm. Oh, you know, somebody
does it have Everclear in it? Yeah. I'm just saying.
Or, you know, somebody bought a round of shots and, you know, you're gonna try that on top of, you know, well, I'm only drinking Busch Light, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'm not gonna, it doesn't have as much alcohol in it. But
Did you do that on an empty stomach? Have you drinking water recently?
Right, mm-hmm. exactly. And you talk about the pre-party. I call it pre-funk. That's what they called it back years ago.
Pre-gaming, yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, you get all lit up, and then you go into a club around here somewhere or a party, mm-hmm. and for some reason the switch flips, and you're just like, oh, I've just started.
Yeah.
You know, not I'm already wild and crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm already ready to make some really poor decisions now right. that I've just gotten here.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. Eat some food before you go out. That's what I would have to say. Eat and drink some food, water while
drink
you're there.
Drink water between your drinks. That's right. Don't play beer pong. Just don't.
Yeah.
You know, that's a great way to consume a lot of alcohol on accident.
Yeah. Drinking games are
dangerous. Your drinks. Don't allow other people. Mm-hmm. I mean, I feel like this is a little more well known nowadays.
Right.
But, you know, you don't want somebody to slip anything in your drink or add anything to it. Pay attention to how much you're drinking. I mean, mm-hmm. it is possible to be responsible and still have a really great time.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and nothing will ruin your great time like a bad day after.
Right.
You know?
Exactly.
Yeah. Who wants to wake up with a headache and feeling like not good?
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. I feel like the entire Russian army walked Mm-mm. over your tongue in their stocking feet. Yeah.
No. You got to go to class.
Always that fun stuff. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, those Thursday nights, you know. Well, it's almost Friday.
There's nothing that'll help you with your exam like a good case of alcohol poisoning.
Right. I do have to say that back in the college days, me and a buddy got pretty well hammered one night. And he called me the next morning. He's like, oh, I feel terrible. And I'm like, oh, you'll be okay. Just, you know, relax today. He goes, no, I have a calculus final. And I'm like, oh, man.
Just sucks. The word calculus final is enough to make me not feel good.
Right. Sucks to be you.
Sucks to
anyway,
suck.
He did the test, and I saw him a couple days later. I'm like, how'd that test go? And he goes, oh, I aced it. I've never done better. And I go, are you kidding me? And he goes, no. He goes, I think I just had to be so focused, you know, to get past the hangover. But yeah, that's not the rule, kids.
Overcompensating.
Right. Right. So cool. It's important to know the fact, not that you won't forget them necessarily, but, you know, if you're in a group, you know, if you got your tribe going with you places, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. sexual assault is going to be minimized. You know, somebody's going to say, hey, man, that's the fifth shot you've done in a half an hour, mm-hmm. you know, maybe it's time to coast for a while. Mm-hmm. And, you know, different people metabolize alcohol at a different rate too.
Mm-hmm.
There was a woman, a young woman, I think she was around 16 years old, went out with friends in high school, got drunk, blacked out, mm-hmm. and came into AA the next day. And I was at a meeting where she came in, her first meeting, and she told her story, and people were like, I don't even think you're an alcoholic. And she's like, doesn't matter. You know, the first time out, I blacked out. I'm not going to drink again. And I really want to.
That's smart.
So it's like, okay, well, you're in the right place. Mm-hmm. I saw her 15 years later at a meeting. This is down in California. At a meeting, she's still going strong. She's sponsoring tons of women and still sharing her experience, strength, and hope. So if it's not for you, you'll know pretty quick.
Yep. Well, and I just want to say that's a great thing about recovery is that it looks like whatever you need it to look like or whatever you want it to look like.
Right.
And I know on my first day working at the recovery center, Daryl told me, you know, we operate under the opinion that you're in recovery if you say you are. Mm-hmm. You know, if you feel like being in a meeting is where you need to be on your first day out, you blacked out and you are craving alcohol, even though you know that's a bad choice, well, then let's see, you know, what that looks like.
Right.
And recovery, you know, what it looks like to each person is different,
right.
How you approach it, what you need it for. There's so many different things. And, you know, having the opportunity, there's so many resources out there, you know, and what we're really lacking is the, like I said, the stigma, you know, reducing the stigma, but also the support. And just, like I said, approaching people with the love and kindness that gives them the space to experience all those feelings, you know, the shame and the confusion. And why can't I just not do this thing that's clearly not good for me, you know?
Right.
And just allowing people, I mean, recovery is hard enough already for some people, you know, without the judgment and the stigma. So, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's Denise's thing here. When somebody wants to define a system of recovery for them,
mm-hmm.
she listens to what they want to do.
We're all different. You get to decide what you want to have in your toolbox, in your week, in your month of what's going to support you and mm-hmm. what kinds of meetings or things you want to work on, whether that's faith-based or not or whatever that is. You get to decide. I can't decide for you. I can sit as we brainstorm.
Yeah. Not that you won't give suggestions.
Sure.
Give people a look into the different kind of tools,
ones I've like experienced said, or the ones I've heard about. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Because when I got sober, it was like, hey, that was it. I couldn't be honest with a psychologist or psychiatrist or my doctors or anybody. Yeah. It's just.
It was different when I was growing up and when you were getting into recovery. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I got into recovery when you were 6 years old. I think we figured out.
I was seven and you were six, I think, or something like that, or eight. I was seven or eight. Yeah. Well, and that was even before, you know, we were doing stuff with like neuroscience and stuff to like actually see what our brain is doing and stuff. Mm-hmm. And it was actually when I was growing up that there was talk about it being a disease and then it started being accepted, you know, getting help through your insurance and stuff.
Right. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. I'm just glad that AA was around when I was ready to make a change. I'm so glad that now there's so many other avenues, you know. Mm-hmm. And come on down to Latah Recovery Center. I'm going to say it again. Free, 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 mm-hmm. free, free.
We don't bill your insurance.
That's right. We don't bill your insurance. We don't care what your issue is. Bring it in here and we'll see if we can help you with it. That's why we're here. No other good reason I can think of.
Mm-hmm.
Except, you know, those loud conversations Deanne has out there in the waiting room when you come in. Don't let it scare you off. That's all I'm saying.
Just don't be jealous that, one, I can say my name correctly, and two,
I did it again, didn't I?
I have so much fun here at the Recovery Center on Friday night. Yeah.
Dina. Well, I'm going to completely dump my buffer after the show so I can get that straight.
Okay.
Right, Bob? Oh, no. What's your name again? Anyway.
Listen,
I'm going to shut it down now before it gets any worse. And with the usual, you know, if you think you have a problem with behavioral health or substances? You do.